with you. And Psalm 72 is in and of itself a very exciting psalm. And we're coming to it. It's the last psalm in book two of the Psalms. If many of you have your rack cards that we did of the Tehillim, the Psalms, they're out there. You could see it on the screen. That's what they look like, the little rectangular cards. But on the back of those cards, it has all details about the Psalms and the wonderful Tehillim that we have in the Bible. This is the last psalm in book two of five of the Psalms. I can't believe we've gone through two of the five books already. And remember the book two theme. Each of the five books has been organized as such because they loosely have themes about them. The theme of book two is all about deliverance. Deliverance and the hope that we have in a future kingdom of God. We're not in it yet. This is not what the kingdom of God is going to look like. If you go outside, you can pretty much figure that out in 5 minutes or less. But there will be a kingdom of God that will be so much better that the Bible describes. But this is our hope. It's looking towards a future, towards the kingdom of God in the future. Now, with this psalm, and with all of the psalms in book two, pretty much, we've seen this recurring character that pops up, and that, of course, is Mashiach, the Messiah. He's all over book two of the Psalms. Mashiach, of course, means anointed one. And this psalm is really the capstone on this whole theme of deliverance and deliverance through Mashiach, deliverance through the Messiah. The psalm is said to be for the tribute to a king. And it was likely used when kings would become kings in a coronation ceremony. And what we're going to see is this psalm points us to the future of the Mashiach's coronation as king over all the earth. We're going to see that today. Now, before I get to the text, something really interesting about Psalm 72, and I want to spend a couple of minutes on it, and I want to discuss two important figures that are in Psalm 72, two biblical characters, so to speak. And those characters are, of course, King Solomon and King Mashiach, or the Messiah. Solomon and the Messiah. The psalm is said to be written by Solomon. If you have in your notes, probably in your Bible, many of your Bibles, it says by Solomon or of Solomon. It's said that he wrote two psalms. This is one of two psalms that he is supposed to have written. And he is, of course, a king of Israel, the son of David. And the Jewish commentators on the Psalms actually believe that David wrote this psalm, not Solomon, but that David wrote it for Solomon, his son, as he was to become king. And the Jewish commentary on this is filled with a prophetic discussion about the future and about this time when the Jewish people will return from exile. There is so much talk in book two of how Israel, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, is in exile, whether it's in exile in Babylon, whether it's in exile wherever, but they're outside of God's promises. They're outside of God's blessing in a lot of ways because they're in exile largely because of sin. And the commentary, the Jewish commentary on the book two of the Psalms and also on Psalm 72 is filled with this idea of the Jewish refugees returning from exile to the land of Israel. And the Jewish Midrash says Psalm 2 is connected all about Mashiach. So you put all this together, the Jewish people are going to return from exile, the Mashiach is going to be king over them, and Solomon, how he fits in, is Solomon is a prefiguring of Mashiach. We see that the Messiah is called the son of David, but he's also essentially a son of Solomon. Because Solomon, who is the physical son of David, prefigures the Messiah, who is the spiritual and later on descendant of King David. Now, what I want to do is look at the generations for a minute. This is a really cool thing here. Matthew chapter 1 talks about the generations of time and of people from, not Adam, but Abraham, all the way to the Mashiach. You remember that genealogy, the beginning of Matthew? Well, let's go there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 17 says this. So the generations from Abraham to David were 14. Let's remember that, 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. That's exile. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. So you've got 14, 14, and 14. Now, Jewish Midrash says that just like the moon has phases of it, you know how the moon has phases during the month? It waxes and it wanes. The moon is full at a certain time of the month. And the time that the moon is full is the 15th of the month, right in the middle of the month, the 15th day. This corresponds, so says the sages, to 15 generations. From Abraham to David, there's 14, but who's in the 15th generation? Solomon. Solomon, he's the son after David. So in the 15th generation, we have the fullness of the moon, so to speak, spiritually, which is the fullness of Israel, the zenith of Israel. And what happened under King Solomon's reign? It was the golden age of Israel. The borders were the largest that they have ever been under King Solomon. They were at peace. They were a superpower, and it was just the largest of Israel that they had ever known. Golden age. But then what happens after Solomon? The moon, so to speak, starts waning again. And we have king after king after king that does evil in the sight of the Lord. And the zenith of Israel, the golden age, fades. And it fades in 14 generations all the way towards exile. And then we have the exile. So that's the phase of the moon, right? 14 generations up, Solomon, and then 14 generations down, and exile. Just like Matthew chapter 1 says. Now we see another set of 14. And we see a 14 from exile and another waxing, I guess it would be, of the moon, all the way through 14 generations, and then you reach the Messiah. Now, Shemot Rabbah, which is Jewish Midrash, says the fullness of the moon will return under the Mashiach. This is what the Jewish sages say in Midrash. Never to wane again. And we hope for that day. We wait for that day when Yeshua will take up his throne as King Mashiach and he will reign. And guess what? His reign is going to be an even greater reign than Solomon. Because not only will Mashiach reign over Israel, but he will reign over the entire earth. It's pretty cool, right? This is pretty awesome stuff. And now with all that in mind, now we can get to Psalm 72. Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7 to begin. Give the king your justice, O God, and let your righteousness and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound until the moon be no more. Wow, a lot of good stuff here, a lot going on. Let's look at some highlights. Now, the king is all about righteousness here. This is a righteous king. He's all about righteousness and justice. Verse 2, the king will judge the poor. Verse 4, he will defend the cause of the poor. Now, I want to go to the prophet Isaiah because there's a lot of parallels here between Psalm 72 and Isaiah, the prophet's writings. Of course, Isaiah spoke and wrote 300 years after the time of Solomon and David. But he's also writing prophetically about the time of Mashiach. And Isaiah chapter 11 is a very messianic chapter. Let's read Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is David's father. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Okay, so as I said, Jesse is, of course, David's earthly father, King David's earthly father. The stump of Jesse, the branch, is, of course, the Mashiach. This is well regarded, well-known in literature and in commentary, as this is talking about Mashiach, the son of David. Now, let's continue on a little bit with Isaiah chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. Listen to what the Mashiach does. But with righteousness, he shall judge the poor. That sounds familiar. We read that in Psalm 72. And decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is very interesting here, and we see throughout the Tanakh, throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, what we see is the Messiah. But we see the Messiah in really two ways. And I'm not going to get into this too much for today, but the Messiah, when he first came 2,000 years ago, was the suffering servant, Messiah ben Yosef, or Joseph, as it says in the Talmud. And this Messiah would die for the sins of the people. This is what Yeshua did 2,000 years ago. Then there's a break, and then there's a pause. And then when he returns, he will be Messiah ben David, which is also what the Talmud talks about, which is a conquering king. And this part of Isaiah 11 and much of Psalm 72 is referring to Mashiach as the conquering king, what he's going to do. But he's going to be a righteous king, just like depicted in Psalm 72. He's going to be a king that will judge the poor fairly, with fairness for the meek, as it says. Now, the prophet Jeremiah, he also talks about this righteous king. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. There he is again, the Mashiach. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness. There's those two words again. In the land, in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. This is the name by which he will be called Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord our righteousness. Now we go back to Psalm 72. We continue on with this beginning text here, 1 through 7. Verse 7 says, in his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. Okay? In whose days? In the days of King Mashiach, we will see this. We haven't yet fully seen this yet, where righteousness flourishes. Unfortunately, evil continues to flourish in our world today. Wickedness. And David talks a lot about that in the Psalms, and it's still happening today. But peace will abound. Shalom, wholeness, fullness will abound on the earth till the moon be no more. Wow. And this is all going to happen in King Mashiach's days. Now, back to Isaiah, back to a little bit of parallel prophecy here. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 through 21. Listen to what Isaiah says in these days. The sun shall be no more your light by day, for the brightness shall the moon, for brightness shall the moon give you light. That's a play to Psalm 72, verse 7, where the moon is not going to shine. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself or wane. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess Eretz Israel, the land, forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. Wow. This is pointing us to a future time when Yeshua will reign as King Messiah. And the end of the book of Revelation also parallels this, talks about this time when Yeshua is going to reign over all the earth. The last book of the Brit Chadashah, of the New Testament, the New Covenant, is Revelation. In Revelation chapter 21, which is very close to the end, verse 23, we read this. And the city, Jerusalem, has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Ooh, I'm getting like goosebumps here. The lamp is the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Well, of course, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is Yeshua, the Messiah. We're getting close to Passover. There's that famous thing that John the Baptist, Yohanan the Immerser, says in John 1, I believe it's 29 or 27, can't remember, but 29, thank you. And in John 1, 29, he sees Yeshua and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And we know that the Passover lamb is all about this holiday, right? Where the Passover lamb is killed, the blood's on the doorpost. All those in the household that have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their house, the angel of death passes over. That's where we get the word Passover from. So this is all pointing us to the lamb who's King Mashiach, who is Yeshua. And it shows Yeshua will be the future reigning messianic king. Now, back to Psalm 72. So much more to talk about. Verses 8 through 11, we'll continue on. May he have dominion from sea to sea. You know where that is, right? That's Israel. There's that chanting that the Palestinians are doing these days about from sea to sea, that we'll be no more. Well, guess what? The Messiah is going to reign over the Jewish people with dominion from sea to sea. So that is not going to happen, the other thing. The dominion over the sea to sea is going to happen. Just had to say that. And from the river to the ends of the earth, it's going to extend. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. Woo. Dominion from sea to sea. All nations serving him. This is, of course, the king reigning over the entire earth. This is extremely clear. No question about it. It's not only just reigning over Israel, but he's reigning globally over the entire earth. We sing about this future prophetic hope. We chant this each Shabbat. Actually, you chant it every day when you do the prayers, when you do the Aleinu prayer, which we said today. Zechariah chapter 14, 9 says this, which we chant, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one." Now, let's look at verse 9 of chapter 70 of Psalm 72, because it says this, "May his enemies lick the dust." Interesting. What this illustrates is a total defeat of the enemy. When the enemy is licking the dust, the enemy is down on his face, presumably in front of you as you have conquered the enemy, okay? They are completely defeated. They are in a position of defeat, position of being vanquished, defeated completely. So they're licking, it's a very poetic way to say that they're down and you have reigned supreme and victorious. And this illustrates a total defeat of the enemies of Israel and shows Israel's king becoming victorious. Micah chapter 7, another prophetic book, chapter 7, verses 15 to 17. "As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt," talking to the Jewish people, "I will show them marvelous things. The nation shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall lay their hands on their mouths. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent." Ooh, we're going to get to that. "They shall lick the dust like a serpent. Like the crawling things of the earth, they shall come trembling out of their strongholds. They shall turn in dread to the Lord our God, and they shall be in fear of you." Wow. Okay. So there's, as with prophetic things, there is different fulfillments, partial and then full. There's also, there can be different fulfillments. There's a lot of, without going into this too much, there's a lot of parallel fulfillments between Israel, the nation, and the Mashiach. You could see this in Isaiah and other places. There's a lot of that going on. But here, there's a parallel thing going on between the nations of the lands who realize that they were cursing Israel, and now they have to bless Israel, okay? And they're coming and bowing down, as it were, to the Lord, the King of Israel, okay? And there's a parallel between that, but also a spiritual and physical complete defeat of the enemy that has been plaguing all of us for all these years, which is the devil, Hasatan. So you could see this. There's this parallel thing going on. And what we see is, we see this defeat of the enemy, the devil, all the way back prophesied in the very first book of the Bible. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, and you'll see this really cool thing. Now remember what it says here in the book of Micah, they shall lick the dust like a serpent. Very specific, right? Genesis chapter 3, what happens in the Garden of Eden is the enemy, the devil, disguises himself and comes to Adam and Eve as what? A serpent. He comes crawling, or he crawls after he gets... which is interesting. I would have loved to see the serpent before he got chastised by the Father, by God, because he probably wasn't crawling around. He probably was up. But then when God kind of puts him in his place, you know, when Hashem puts him in his place, then he starts crawling. But this is very prophetic here, because you have this sight of Adam and Eve and the serpent, and this is what it says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, which is you've deceived Eve, you've deceived Adam, you've caused them to then sin, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, without going a lot into that, the bruising of the heel is Messiah being cut off. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, Yeshua died, the New Testament. But that's the bruising of the heel, but that's not a final defeat. Because what's going to happen is his head shall be bruised, meaning the enemy's head shall be bruised, and he's going to lick or eat the dust of the earth. This is a prophetic thing way back in Genesis showing us how the enemy is going to be completely defeated by the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is, of course, the Mashiach. Very, very well known in Jewish literature and commentary that this is the Mashiach, talking about the son of Adam, the descendant of Adam, the descendant of Adam and Eve doing this. Now, let's look a little deeper at Psalm 72, verse 11. May all kings fall down before him, and all nations serve him. This is the last part of this passage here. All kings will serve the Messiah, the King of Kings. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I'm not going to go into it now, but I mentioned a few weeks ago when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, he has wise men come to him. And what do? They bring him gifts. Now, there is some commentary what talks about the wise men could have been kings, whether they were or not. This whole idea is he will have people from the nations coming down before him and giving him tribute, giving him gifts. Messiah Yeshua is prefigured here. And I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 7, before I talk about this a little bit more. But Isaiah, so much of Isaiah is talking about the Mashiach. Isaiah 49, 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and the Holy and His Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes, they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Talking about people falling down before the Mashiach. Messiah Yeshua was initially rejected, Isaiah 53 and other places, but now kings will prostrate themselves before him. All people will bow down to him. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, and the him is Yeshua, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Forget just the earth, everywhere, heaven, earth, under the earth. And every tongue confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is, you see how Scripture just totally connects with itself? It's amazing. Love it. Now, we're going to go back to Psalm 72 as I'm wrapping up here. I don't even want to touch 12, 13, and 14. We're not even going to get to that, but you can go back and read that. That is, again, talking about justice for the poor. Isaiah chapter 11 again, a reinforcement of that. But let's move down to the verse 15 and read 15, 16, and 17 next. Psalm 72, 15. Long may he live, who is he, Messiah? May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. Now that's an interesting comment, because we talked about the grass of the field in Psalm 72 and the watering of that grass. So it all kind of ties together. Psalm 72, verse 17. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. This is again the Messianic King being honored by the people continually. Verse 17 says, may his name endure forever. There's a lot of scriptures that point, and that have pointed, we've seen this, to Yeshua as Messiah. But what I want to do is turn to a very early occurrence of his, actually before he was even born. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And in the book of Luke, chapter 1, there is this, Luke is great because the book of Luke gives a lot of background to us. You know, you go to the book of Mark and it gets right to the point, right? And you go to the book of Matthew and it shows us a lot of very Jewish texts and how they find their fulfillment in Yeshua. But the book of Luke, Luke was very meticulous. And Luke spends a whole chapter, even before Yeshua is born or conceived, talking about the significance of Mashiach. And there's this encounter that happens in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, where we see an angel. And an angel comes to this young girl named Miriam, Mary, right? The mother of Yeshua, Yeshua's earthly mother. And this is what happens here. And the angel talks to her, and he says this, Luke 1, 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Pretty descriptive here. This ties together the idea that the Mashiach is the son of David through the Davidic line of David. Psalm 72 talks about this. Inheriting the throne of King David and reigning over Israel forever. Not just temporarily as David did. As great as David was, and as much as the Bible talks about all the kings being compared to David, there is going to be no king that compares to the Messiah, the Mashiach, the son of David. But he's not going to reign just temporarily like historically David did, and temporarily like Solomon did, and like all the other kings, but he's going to reign forever. Now, let's read the remaining verses of Psalm 72, which are the closing verses of book 2 and of the Psalm. Psalm 72, 18, 19, and 20. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So this is significant because this is like what we would term, I guess, in the Christian world as a doxology, right? You ever heard of doxology, like a prayer at the end, beautiful prayers at the end? And this doxology happens in similar forms, but the same sentiment happens with all five of the books, as every book of the psalm is concluded. And we see in Psalm 72, the last of book 2, we say a very long doxology. And what do we have here? It closes the book out with praise. They all end with praise, all five of the books. Praise to the Lord. This is what we're left with. We're left with, as we complete another book of Psalms, and as we're finishing up thinking about Mashiach, what are we left with? We're left with praise to God. for all that he is, all that he has done, and all that he will do upon the earth. The book of the Psalms has been all about, this book of the Psalms has been all about deliverance. It's been all about redemption. It is heavily, heavily messianic. And it is heavily about Yeshua. So deliverance, redemption, salvation, and also a hope, because it's not here yet. It is to come in the future. So it is a future hope that we have in the kingdom of God, and it is a future reign of the Messiah that we know will occur. This is a concept that is very much throughout the entire Tanakh. It's a very Jewish concept. And we've seen throughout these books or these Psalms how Yeshua fits the bill. Yeshua shows us, or we see in Yeshua, the fulfillment of all of this. We see how Genesis, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, all of these books, and then into the New Testament, into Luke, Philippians, Revelation, it all says the same thing. It all points us together. These are not just 66 individual books in the Bible. This is one book with one theme, and it is about, ultimately, redemption, deliverance, a saving of us from our sins. From way back in Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see this redemption, and this redemption has been revealed to us in the form of the Mashiach, King Mashiach, who will rule and reign over all the earth, Yeshua. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you that it sometimes it's just all right here, and we can just pull out scripture after scripture and see it. Lord, we know that many of the Psalms are applicable to our lives, but this Psalm in particular is an affirmation of all that you're saying throughout all the scripture, which is that the Mashiach is coming, that the Deliverer is coming, the Son of God is coming, the branch is coming, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you have come and that he has come 2,000 years ago and will return 2,000 years ago as our suffering servant and coming soon, we pray, as our conquering king. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it all ties together. We ask that you would just encourage us today, Lord God. Encourage us with this as we are on this Shabbat HaGadol, this great Shabbat before Passover. Encourage us, Lord, to remember our deliverance as we come into this Passover season, as we come to our Seders that we're going to be having, as we remember from slavery to freedom, both physically and spiritually. We thank you, God, and we praise you for all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.